night is flying. The watchmen on the heights are crying, "Awake, Jerusalem, arise." Midnight hears the welcome voices, and at the thrilling cry rejoices, "Oh, where are ye, ye virgins wise?" The bridegroom comes, "Awake, your lamps with gladness take, alleluia. With bridal care yourselves prepare to meet the bridegroom who is near." The theologian, hymn writer, and small-town pastor Philip Nicolai wrote this beautiful hymn based on our gospel text, albeit auf Deutsch, in the year 1597. Nicolai lived in a small trading town of Unna in Germany, where in that same year, 1597, a plague ripped through the town, taking the lives of 1,300 people. That was half the population of the entire town. It's said that as many as 30 people died in one single day, Nicolai burying them all in his own backyard, the city cemetery. And Nicolai himself lost many family members in that very same plague. Yet despite the sickness and death, he pens poetry so beautiful that eventually one day it becomes known as the King of Chorales. But how could he write something so cheerful and beautiful as, "Therefore will we eternally sing hymns of praise and joy to thee"? How could he write that amidst such utter desolation? He must have imagined the end of the world to be near. The day of judgment was surely upon them, as our Old Testament reading from Amos prophesied, "Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it?" Gloom? Yes, there certainly was lots of gloom, knowing that for every two people in the town, one would die. And as horrible as it was, that plague was nothing compared to one that happened 1,300 years earlier, in the year 250. The theologian Cyprian, known as one of the fathers of the early church, records it for us. It's said that in that plague, as many as 5,000 died in the city of Rome on one single day. And in the city of Carthage, the pagans blamed the Christians for that plague because they weren't sacrificing and praying to the pagan gods. And so in return, the pagans offered those Christians as sacrifices to their pagan gods. They persecuted them, and they killed them. Cyprian writes at that time, "Already Christ's second coming draws near to us. He will soon come from heaven to punish the devil for the judgment of the human race." And here we are, in the year of our Lord 2017. Hurricanes ripped across the south of our land just this year. Wildfires raged in the west. Gunmen opened fire on innocent crowds, from Vegas concerts to small-town Baptist church in Texas. Never mind the fact that daily our society is growing less and less tolerant of Christian beliefs and values. Gloom? Yes, there certainly is lots of gloom. The world is full of darkness, and it has been ever since sin entered into it at the beginning of time. We cannot find our way through this darkness on our own. We sit here in the darkness of the night, much like those 10 virgins that Jesus tells us of in our parable in the gospel reading. Like the 10 virgins in the parable, we sit in the darkness, eagerly awaiting the return of our bridegroom, Christ. The darkness can be enveloping. It can be frightening. You remember, I'm sure, being a child and being scared of the dark, scared of those shapes and the imaginations that live in the shadows. But when you flip on the light, They scatter. They disappear. The fear is driven away by the light. And just like the virgins in the parable, we, the church, though sitting in the darkness of this world, we have lamps of our own to put to flight those terrors of the night. That light that we have is the word of God. As the psalmist says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Jesus Christ is that very light of the world. And we find him here in Holy Scripture, the incarnate word of God speaking to us. God's word is that light that pushes away the darkness and its phantoms. It's only in the light of his word that we can see the world for what it truly is. The ways of the world lie in darkness. Sin lurks in the shadows. And as the night of the world drones on, our bridegroom Jesus Christ is delayed in returning to bring us home to be with him forever in eternity. And as we become drowsy and fall asleep, we're called to keep our lamps burning bright, like those five wise virgins in the parable. Do not let them go out like the five foolish virgins did. The foolish ones thought that he would come back right away. And when he didn't, when he delayed, they let their lamps go out. They lost faith in him. They didn't bring enough oil with them. They didn't trust that he would come back. This little light of mine, well, they did not continue to let theirs shine. They lost hope, they lost faith, they lost trust in Jesus, that he would finally return for them. And when he did finally return, they were caught unawares. They were not prepared. In fact, when he comes by, they're not even there to meet him and join in his bridal procession. They're off trying to find more of that oil. We're called to be prepared for his coming. We're called to have our lamps burning bright, to keep the oil of the lamp full so that the light shines in the darkness. We're called to remain faithful, faithful to his word, which shines as a beacon in the dark. The oil of the lamps that Jesus is speaking of in our parable, it is that faith that we have in him. Faith that we have in his word of promise. Faith that we have that he will return for us. And this faith is more than just an intellectual assent. It's more than just knowing that Jesus Christ died, rose, and is coming back. Faith is a trust. A trust in him that he has redeemed you from sin, death, and the devil, and that he is coming back for you to bear you home. It's more than just knowing, because after all, even those five foolish virgins knew that he would come. They knew that the bridegroom would come, and they went out with the wise virgins. But at the end of the day, they did not trust in his return. They lost hope. They let their lamps go out, not being filled with oil, and they lost their faith. So, keep your lamps filled with the oil of faith in his word of promise, and you fill your lamps here where you hear his gospel proclaimed to you, where you hear his word preached to you, and where you receive his sacrament at this altar for the strengthening of your faith. Many, many people today consider themselves spiritual. But you can't be spiritual without being religious, and you certainly cannot be spiritual or religious without being a part of the church. You can't have the Holy Spirit without hearing his word. In order to be a part of the body of Christ, we have to come together as the body of Christ, as we do in Holy Communion. Because the night around us is dreary, and it is filled with gloom. Whether that gloom is a plague ravaging your town, or a natural disaster wiping it out. Whether it's persecution because you confess your faith in Christ, as in the days of the early church, or a growing intolerance of your faith, as is happening today. The end times are here, and we have been living in them ever since Christ ascended to sit at the right hand of God the Father. But do not lose hope. We eagerly await his second coming to take us with him to the eternal marriage feast. Watch, therefore, Jesus warns us, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Philip Nicolai, in our hymn today, poetically refers to this coming day or hour as midnight. Midnight hears the welcome voices and at the thrilling cry rejoices, "Where are ye, ye virgins wise?" The bridegroom comes, awake. Your lamps with gladness take, alleluia. With bridal care yourselves prepare to meet the bridegroom who is near. Midnight has not yet come for us. We don't know when exactly that day will be. It could be tomorrow, or it could be in 1,000 years from now. Quite frankly, it doesn't matter when exactly that day is, because we know that it's coming. And we are to be prepared for the return of our bridegroom, Christ, who is near to take us, his bride, the church, to be with him forever. And this is how Nicolai could write such a beautiful, such a cheerful hymn amidst such sadness and tragedy. Our life in these end times is filled with tragedy and sadness. But Christ, our bridegroom, is coming, and we can take great joy and solace in anticipating his return for us, to bear us home to be with him forever. Remain watchful, for night is flying, and when he comes, we will join his bridal procession with lamps full, finally entering fully into the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, just as those 5 wise virgins in the parable did. And as we await that final day, let us proudly profess with all the body of Christ, Amen, come Lord Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. We profess the Nicene Creed as found on page 174.